verses 14 to 18. That's page 889, Hebrews chapter 2, 14 to 18. And I'll read that in just a moment, so just leave it open there. So I have a question for you. Can we just move the slide? That would be great. There we go. What makes you afraid? What makes you afraid? Now, this doesn't have to be your greatest fear, but what makes you afraid? Anybody afraid of flying? Oh, you don't want to raise your hand for that. Sorry. How about heights? Enclosed spaces, things that go bump in the night, or just darkness? Since Sosie's not here, I can say this out loud. Snakes? Anyone? Snakes? Just sort of give them the creeps. Spiders, bees. Being alone? Anyone afraid of just that being alone just does it? Took me a while to figure out what FOMO was until I realized it was me. The fear of missing out. Anybody have the fear of missing out? You gotta get it all in. Growing up, growing old, illness, blood. Not even your own blood, but just any blood just can cause weak knees. This one was new in the surveys, at least for me. Clowns. Some of those are nasty when you see the pictures of those clowns. Some of us are afraid of the past. In a magazine I read, Runner's World, one of the biggest fears that runners face, you know, women runners, fear assault. And it's very dangerous. It's really frustrating for women who run. They don't get to run with the same freedom that men do. Once the sun goes down, the sense of safety dissipates, and it's awful. In fact, a lot of us are working to try to change that. Most all of us fear failure, and this one's associated with uncleanness and things that are unclean, dirt, that can freak us out. What makes you afraid? And does God know? Have you spoken to him about it? What is it that makes you afraid? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 reads, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Don't you want to say thanks be to God for this section of Scripture? Our God has come. See, Christ came to meet us in the midst of our greatest fear, the fear of death itself. He did not stay away. He did not say, deal with it. Addressing our greatest fear, the fear of death, he came right into human history to planet Earth to meet us. So he came to be like us. Did you catch that? Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. See, he's like us, flesh and blood. We read that he's fully God, and yet he's fully human. Fully God and fully human. You read chapter 1, we see that Jesus is so far superior to any angel, any spiritual being. If you want to read a passage that will cause your heart to just bow in worship, Hebrews chapter 1 speaks of our God and how he has the righteous scepter, how he is beyond time and space. He's gonna take off time and space like we take off a sweater or a robe. That's how great Jesus is. Yet he did not consider his greatness something to be held on to. He became a human being just like us. Chapter 4 in Hebrews picks up this idea of the high priest. And it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin." He knows exactly what it's like to be human. That fear that went through your mind a moment ago, he knows it. Every temptation to sin, he knows it. He knows what it's like to be just like us. That's why he came. We've been talking about what our purpose is as a church. What purpose does God have for us? Well, when you look at Jesus, he had a very clear purpose. And over these next weeks, we're going to be focusing on Jesus' purpose. Jesus came to set us free. And in order to do that, he came to be like us. He also came to know us. See, he's been tempted in every way so he can empathize. See, to have empathy with someone, you don't have to go through the experience, but you have to know what it might feel like to be able to relate to it. So Jesus never sinned, so he doesn't know what guilt feels like. We do. He doesn't know what it's like to have to confess sin, because though he's just like us, he never sinned. See, that's why he could be our Savior. See, he knows your deepest, darkest thoughts. He knows the things you won't tell anyone else. He knows the things you're not even telling him. He knows it, and he knows you. And that's not something, please, I know some of us, when I asked what you're afraid of, you probably thought God. You probably thought, you know what? The one I'm most afraid of is God, because he knows every fear, he knows every weakness, he knows every frailty. And if he's anything like we are, that means judgment's coming. But that's not him. That's not him. He knows every fear I face. He knows every weakness I struggle with. He knows all my frailties. And John 3:17, do you know John 3:17? We know 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life." For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He knows us. He knows you. So pour out your heart to him. We have a high priest who knows what it's like, and he invites us to his throne of grace. At the end of chapter 4, it reads, "Since we have such a great high priest, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." The arms of our high priest are open wide, not just on the cross, but risen, our risen conquering Lord, his arms are wide open, inviting us to come for grace and for mercy. He does not expect you to be perfect. He does not expect you to be able to do all that he asks of you on your own. Does that bring a smile to your face? This is the gospel. We have a high priest who knows us. He also knows what our predicament is. Came to destroy the devil. 1 John 3:8 says that he came to destroy the works of the devil. And I read this just a moment ago, that he too shared in our humanity so that by his death he might break the power or destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. He came to destroy the works of the devil, to destroy the devil, to break the power of death, to break him. We fear, of course, all of us fear the experience of dying, right? I mean, that is not something we look forward to. We don't look forward to the pain and suffering that usually accompanies the process of dying. So don't freak out, oh no, I don't have faith, I'm afraid of dying. Don't worry about that. It's what comes after death that has most people scared to death, because they know they are worthy of condemnation. They know that, okay, now comes the time to answer for everything. And what I find amazing is in the face of the taunt of condemnation that the devil gives us, that it doesn't need to touch you. You and I don't need to be controlled by the fear of death. I will tell you, when I saw Rosalie Garabedian, Joanne's mother, it was her 66th wedding anniversary. She was just a little over a week away from seeing the Lord face to face. She was suffering, no doubt. And yet the peace of Christ was absolutely tangible. The same excitement that I might have looking forward to a football game or seeing my wife when she gets back on the plane, whatever, think about what it is that you could, it's like, it's palatable, you know it's there. The peace of Christ was upon Mrs. Garabedian. She smiled. I'm going to see Jesus. See, Christ came that he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. He's broken it. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Yes, that thing that you're thinking of right now that he does know about, covered by the blood of our high priest. We read that, for this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Satan cannot accuse you. He can try, but the accusation doesn't stink. Haritunian, you are worthy of condemnation. Yes. And I am beloved by the Son. Son has given his blood, has washed me clean. Do I deserve it? Absolutely not. Do you deserve condemnation? Absolutely. Will you receive it if you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Nope. Does that just sort of make you want to mock the evil one? I hope you do. Because we have a high priest who has paid the punishment for our sins. It's the promise of Christ. Death may frighten us, but what comes next doesn't. See, he frees us from fear. There is no judgment. Our sin deserves judgment, but those who have trusted in Christ, there is no judgment. There is a sacrifice. This is what we're going to celebrate in just a few minutes. Christ has forgiven us. Christ has forgiven us. And did you catch how this closes? Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Okay, go ahead and breathe a sigh of relief. Because just over this last week, you faced temptations and you submitted to it. You went in. It was like fishing, and you just went for the bait. I went for the bait. And all the while, Jesus is saying, I'm here to help. I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to give you that look that you give your kids. Sorry, that's what he tells me. But he's here to help. Because he knows what it's like to be tempted in all ways, it isn't just forgiveness, as if that wasn't enough, that he offers us. But he offers us help right in the midst of your anxiety right now, in the midst of your fears right now, in the midst of your anger, in the midst of facing those who are letting you down, in the midst of wondering where your children are headed, what your future holds, remembering the accusations of the past that you'll never change. At each point, Jesus says, I am with you. What was the song we just sang? Oh, come, Emmanuel. And God, Emmanuel means God with us. Not just 2,000 years ago when he did enter time and space and walk on planet Earth, but by his Holy Spirit now, our high priest is with us. He invites us to the throne of grace and says, I'm here to help. He's neutralized our greatest fear. He's defeated our greatest enemy. He offers us forgiveness, and he offers us help in temptation. This Advent season, as you wait on the Lord, say, Jesus, thank you for being like me. Thank you for knowing me. Thank you for destroying the works of the devil. Thank you for coming to free me. Amen. I'd like to invite those who will be serving communion to please come. And as they come, that fear that you have, maybe that unconfessed sin, bring that to the Lord.